kicking ass and taking names along the way.
My name's Eric. Please don't hurt me.
This is the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980.
Welcome back to the program. Canada's most irreverent talk show here, the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. We are moving into a different territory here with this segment. And it's talking about the elephant in the room at Queen's Park. And, you know, I hate cliches, but you can't deny that no one wants to talk about the budget there. No one wants to talk about the debt. No one wants to talk about the deficit. They just want to keep spending and spending and spending. And look, I mean, I've always identified as a conservative with a small c. I believe in limited government. I believe in people having the right to spend their own money more than government spending people's money for them. And the problem I've always had, especially with the PC party in the last few years, has been that they are more aggressively pushing for the same things that the Liberals are pushing for. We're getting you more money for this. We're going to put more money into this, more money into this. And I, as a kind of a taxpayer, I'm like, whoa, I don't want you to promise me money for things. I want you to promise me that I can keep my own money. And I think that fits into the other bigger question of fiscal responsibility, of a balanced budget. Now, I'm pleased to announce that I have in front of me a balanced budget for 2014 for the province of Ontario. Unfortunately, it isn't actually the budget that the province is passing. But it's been done. It's here. The Freedom Party of Ontario tabled its opposition budget for the province. It actually, frankly, makes a lot more sense than anything we're seeing in Queen's Park. Paul McKeever, the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, joins me. Paul, it's great to have you back on the program, sir. Well,
thank you for having me, Andrew.
So you've crunched the numbers here, you and your team. Talk to me a little bit about what is in your opposition budget.
Well, what we've done is we've looked at all the various ways in which a government might try to balance a budget, and we've eliminated as impossible, five different ways that typically you hear the Liberals, PCs, and NDP talking about. For example, they always say, well, we're not going to touch healthcare, education, or welfare. We're going to make sure they spend just as much, if not more, in those three things. Well, if you do that, then it's literally impossible to balance the budget.
Yeah, because those are like the three biggest expenditures of the provincial budget, pretty much.
That's right. In fact, the healthcare budget alone sucks up 60%, 59.9, 60% of all Ontario provincial tax revenues, leaving only 40% for everything else. And of that 40, 100% of that, the remaining money, is taken up by education and interest payments on the debt. So you have 23 other ministries, justice and Aboriginal affairs and agriculture and et cetera, which are wholly paid for not with Ontario taxes, but with handouts from the federal government, with the odd fee and whatnot, you know, licensing fees and et cetera, and by borrowing money. Now, in the next several years, the deficit's expected, and this is according to the Drummond Report, to spiral out of control. We're looking at something in the range of $30 billion of borrowing per year. And we're already at about $272 billion in debt. So we are not going to be able to sustain the programs we've got. We've identified the one, the one thing that must be done in order to balance the budget, and that's to amend the system, the healthcare system, the way we're paying for healthcare right now. That's not to say get rid of OHIP. No, we keep OHIP. But instead of funding it with taxes, we make it just one of the players out there offering competitively, health insurance on an open market. We've looked at the prices. It looks like $3,515 is the price per person of OHIP right now. That would be the price for which OHIP would continue to be offered. And people who, for no fault of their own, for example, the disabled, were unable to pay that because they're not working, we have allotted a $1.5 billion fund so that nobody goes without. So this is not a proposal to, you know, send everybody to the wolves. This is a proposal to improve health care, but to make sure that its escalating costs don't cause a spiraling out of control of the budget. It'll balance the budget this year, 2014, and in every year thereafter, because the prime drag on the budget is spiraling health care, And we've got three parties in the legislature right now who are unwilling to say anything about it.
Well, obviously, I mean, healthcare is an untouchable issue for a lot of Canadians, because I think even people who identify as more conservatively minded than others still, I think, see healthcare in Canada as birthright, and certainly in Ontario, it's no exception. One of the other factors, which has always frustrated me, no one wanting to touch, is how much we're paying for nothing, how much we're paying on maintaining existing debt. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, we're paying somewhere in the order of over $10 billion for that every year. So that's more than we spend on most of the other ministries. We might spend hundreds of millions or a few billion on most of the 26 ministries in Ontario, but $10 billion or more on interest payments alone every year. That's wasted money. It ties our hands, and it's only going to get larger if we allow that debt to increase. By some estimates, we're looking at over $400 billion in debt in the medium term, and that's going to escalate those yearly interest payments as well, which means we have less money to spend on things like healthcare, education, and et cetera. So we've really got to tackle this thing right now. You have to keep in mind that we're not proposing, privatization. That's not what we're proposing. We're proposing keeping OHIP in place as a crown corporation. But we're allowing people to decide whether they want to pay the $3,515 to OHIP, or whether they would instead pay that to another healthcare provider that maybe provides a different range of coverage. Instead of just being stuck in a system where repeatedly they delist and delist and delist until there's almost nothing left, but you're still paying the high premiums for OHIP, we're going to say, no, you're going to have to compete now, OHIP, and maybe that price is going to come down. Maybe OHIP is no longer going to be the way in which perhaps some labor organizations or some physicians, de facto unions, are able to keep a stranglehold on patients. We need competition so that prices can get under control and so that patients can choose the kinds of coverage they want. For me, I wouldn't be getting coverage, for example, that covers itchy skin. I can pay for that out of pocket, but I would want coverage for the tragic accident, the heart attack, the cancer, etc. And that critical care shouldn't cost that kind of money. By the way, I mean, if you look at the price per person that we're paying in Ontario for health care, it's equal to or greater than private coverage in the States. The difference is, in the States, there are hospitals where you simply walk into the ER and they serve you right away. In Canada, we see the horror of people not being able to get in unless they're in an ambulance, and most of the ambulances are sitting in the parking lot, unable to serve anybody else because the hospital won't let the patients out of the truck and into the hospital. We've got a rationing system right now. It's a crisis in our system because of the fact that the government is deliberately limiting the amount of money and the types of things that it will pay for. So we've got two problems. One is this budget that's spiraling out of control, and the other is increasingly rationed health care that eventually is going to serve nobody. It's gotten so bad that they've literally proposed a mini form of Logan's Run. In the Drummond Report, which was a budget document, they said that middle-aged, healthy people should be encouraged to sign end-of-life agreements. Those are agreements where, if, for example, you become so ill that you can't speak, or you had an accident you can't speak, and so you can't communicate your intention to stay alive or what have you, you would have decided in advance that, oh, just knock me off, give me a lethal injection. And they were encouraging people to take the lethal injection rather than put the province to the expense of having to keep you alive for another week, another month, because that's where most of the money in the healthcare system goes, those last few weeks of everyone's life. So they're trying to literally balance the budget on...
They're trying to reduce human life to a question of finances rather than anything else. I mean, which is... I agree. I mean, it's... I rarely see movies referenced in budgets, but I think your comparison is pretty apt in this case.
Well, it's a bit of a cute thing, but, it's in Logan's Run, for those who don't know. That was a movie in which, in order to keep things under control, everybody, I think, died at, 35 or 40, they had to commit suicide. And this is the idea, to try and get rid of the costs associated with end-of-life by literally having people agree in advance that they're not going to put the province to the expense. I think it's immoral, and I can't believe that it's got the support of all three parties in the legislature. It's not what needs to be done. What needs to be done is to simply correct the mistake that the Progressive Conservatives made in 1969, which is what they did was they banned private health care, and they created a bunch of taxes to support the OHIP monopoly. There was no provincial income tax before that. There was no... this range of taxes that we have now supporting the healthcare system. Literally, all of the taxes that are used on, or sorry, that are imposed on production, not consumption, but things like income taxes, corporate taxes, the health care levy, all those taxes combined are what pay for health care. It's shocking, but we have all of those drains on productive effort, reasons for not doing work or earning in Ontario, all because we want to tax fund health care instead of give people a competitive market for health care. It's backward, and it's dragging us down.
When it comes down to it, Paul, what you proposed as far as OHIP, which is, I mean, if we want to reduce it to simple terminology, an opt-out mechanism for people in Ontario, would that work apply to education as well?
We're not proposing that at this time. We've basically said there's one target here that's the biggest target. It's the one that's causing the biggest problem. Now, we've always been, of course, in favor of parents having choice in education. We understand that there are a number of stumbling blocks to that, both constitutional in some cases. For example, this constitutional right in Ontario at this point for tax-funded Catholic schools, but not for other schools. And so we've been looking at a range of proposals over the years, and we've always had the bias in favor of choice. My concern, of course, is that the province not be handing out secondary school diplomas in respect of education that is not complete. You don't want to have, for example, people being taught nothing except, storybook tales and no math, no geography, what have you, and still getting a grade 12 diploma. So there have to be standards. But apart from that, choice has to be there for parents, and I think that's the long-range view. It's just not part of this budget.
Now, obviously, you mentioned storybook tales, so that's a perfect segue into the Ontario Liberal budget here. when it comes down to it, look, unfortunately, you are coming at this and presenting this budget from not just a place of opposition, but from a party that isn't represented in the legislature. What kind of would you like to see from this? I mean, if you could kind of have one component of your budget here, the balanced budget, into the actual Queen's Park discussions, what would that be?
Oh, precisely what I've been saying.
The health care.
Yeah, we've got to get that health care off budget and make it a competitive system. And keep in mind, we're not in the legislature right now, but by publishing this budget, and this is our third year in a row in which we published a proposal for a budget that is balanced, we are literally attempting to shame the 107 MPPs that are in there, because while we're speaking about balancing the budget, they're busy talking about how they're going to set up pension plans and all kinds of other payroll deductions they're going to make. When they can't even balance the budget they have, they're going to be borrowing more and more money to build young street extensions to Thornhill for one by-election, or build a hospital in Niagara Falls for another by-election. It's absolutely an abdication of responsibility. And if Freedom Party doesn't make these people look bad at this point, they're going to have free reign to just make everyone believe that there's not a crisis. There is a crisis, Andrew. There's a very big crisis. Freedom Party is addressing it. If those people in the legislature, the 107, aren't going to do anything about it, our candidates are. And we're going to step up.
When it comes down to it, look, I mean, I have to wonder why, and I mean, this may be my naivete showing, but why a balanced budget is not just a default. Every time, every budget, we got to make it balanced.
It's mind-boggling that it isn't. Always going to be some imprecision, right? A billion one way or the other. You might have a slight surplus or a slight, just because of the ebbs and flows of expenses during the course of the year. But that should never result in what we have now, which is this $9.22 billion budget, or what's going to be something more like a $30 billion budget. In my view, we need legislation that requires politicians to balance that budget each and every year. It's possible, it's doable, and the only thing stopping them from doing it is they believe that the taxpayer is stupid enough or greedy enough to just vote for whoever gives them the most money, no matter the consequences. And that game, it historically, has always led to failure. In New Zealand, the creditors finally came knocking. This is a couple decades ago. And although they had a socialist government in place, they ended up having to do some very, very painful things to their budget. Nothing like what I'm talking about. Much more power, much more painful. And that's exactly what's going to happen if we allow the Liberals, the PCs, and the NDP to borrow us into that desperate situation.
Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Where can people find your party's budget, sir?
You'll see it right on the front page of our website, www.freedomparty.on.ca.
There you go. Paul McKeever, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk. There are certain fundamental realities. No offense to our guests, the Freedom Party probably not headed towards a majority in the next election. Probably not headed towards a minority in the next election either. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be supported. And look, I'm not hiding here. I mean, I voted for the Freedom Party in the London West by-election. I've never voted for a party that is part of the so-called fringes, simply because I've always just tried to reconcile my beliefs with one of the major parties. But it reached a point where I said, you know what? Something's gotta give. Why am I gonna throw my vote behind someone who's not standing up for freedom, who's not standing up for fiscal responsibility? I would rather put a vote on principle towards something that actually is making sense to send a message than anything else, and that's what I did. And I don't know how I'm going to vote in the next provincial election, but certainly we're seeing a rare dose of common sense from Paul McKeever's party. If you haven't read it yet, look up the balanced budget. Look it up. And the interesting thing about it is that they kind of say right in the opening section here that Ontario has the issues known as the untouchables. Healthcare, training colleges and universities, education, community and social service, interest on debt. These five things that no one's going to talk about that account for $98 billion of $122 billion budgets. Yet no one's doing anything about it. More of the Andrew Lawton Show in just a couple of moments on AM 980. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. We were just talking, if you missed it, about the opposition budget. Now, not the official opposition, but from the Freedom Party of Ontario. And no, the Freedom Party hasn't paid me to do a big, you know, half-hour endorsement of them. Frankly, the endorsement is of the idea itself, which is a good one. Not only a budget that's balanced. I mean, you can make an incredibly wasteful budget and balance it and say, yeah, we're going to spend, you know, $50 billion more of your money extra, but we're going to tax you $50 billion more as well, so it's balanced. No. Not only is it balanced, but it also deals with the collective elephants in the room of Ontario politics, which are, I mean, you shouldn't even need to look at a sheet of paper to know this. Healthcare, education, welfare, debt. That's it. I mean, these are the hugest expenses that the province deals with, and they're the ones that no one is wanting to talk about. Have you heard any politician by one of the three parties in the Ontario legislature talk about the need to lower healthcare spending? Talk about the need to lower education spending? Talk about the need to lower money towards social services? If you have, please send me a link to that story, because it might just be from The Onion. No, in actuality, all they talk about every single time is we need to spend more money this. We're going to put money into this program. We're going to do this program. We're going to do this program. Now, we've had Lisa McLeod on the program, and she's a great woman. I love her to death. She talks a lot of sense about a lot of issues, about government accountability, about integrity. The problem is politics in Ontario has become about we're not the Liberals. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Trust me, I'm likely to vote for anyone who's not the Liberals in the next election. But the PCs are trying to say, hey, we're not them. The NDP are trying to say, hey, we're not them. The problem is that's not good enough. We shouldn't have that as being the sole basis for why we, whoever we is, should be elected. If I were a political candidate, I would like to think that I have something new that I can bring to the table, not just, hey, you hated him? Well, I'm not him. Or, yeah, you thought she wasted your money? Well, I won't, or I'll waste less of it. But that's what we've come down to. It honestly is exactly the direction that politics has gone. And, I mean, arguably, there's always going to be a little bit of antagonism in any level of politics where the opposition is meant to hold the government accountable. Absolutely. But this is why I kind of had Paul McKeever on here. Not kind of. I mean, it's why I had Paul McKeever on, because when you have nothing to lose politically, all you can do is speak the truth. All you can do is speak what makes sense. And I'm sorry, but giving someone the ability to opt out of OHIP, other people are going to say, oh my goodness, you can't do that. That healthcare is our birthright. Well, yeah, but look at the cost of it. Money does not grow on trees. And, I mean, it seems like such a stupid thing to have to say, but people don't seem to realize it. They don't seem to get it. as government, you can't just snap your fingers, raise taxes, and expect that the economy will work itself out. You may be able to manufacture money. The federal government may be able to just print money. All of these things may be able to happen, but that doesn't mean you've actually generated more money. It doesn't mean you actually are in any better stead than you were before. Healthcare is not free. It has astronomical costs, and people can't afford it. We cannot afford healthcare in Ontario. We cannot afford CPP federally. We cannot afford education provincially. There are lots of things that we can't afford, but no one's actually talking about changing. And that's why something does have to give before it is the economy itself, which frankly I think is already on its way out. We got to take a break for news here. We're going to talk about something else. Financial when we come back. ATM fees, yeah.